The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer is here as well. Kelly, how'd you like that? It was fun, huh?
That was fun. So, it always is when they make a release and the board just lights up.
That was pretty great. The
seems to have settled for now.
Yes.
Anywhere between 14 and a half and 15.
That's correct. If we did that every week at the same time, we couldn't do that because then they would just take down all their college football. Everybody would.
Yeah.
Probably. So you have to kind of change up the release times, right? I'm sure that's what they do as well all the time. Dr. Bob had to do that for years, right? Like he had to change his methods of delivery because he would move college football markets as well.
It is wild. Yeah, you're right. You'd have to change day and time.
Methods.
Because, otherwise, I mean, the books would just pull their odds off until you release.
The reason they do that go cancel thing, right? Anyway, nice job out of Michael Craig, and we appreciate them doing that on the show here. Still to come, Survivor talk in the National Football League after the carnage that was week number one. 56.25% of all entries out in Circa Survivor. Good Lord. 3,450 out of 6,133, Kelly, gone after week one.
It's wild. I sneaked through week one. I got a few options down for later when we talk about
it. How many entries did you start with?
Just one.
Just one.
I have the just solo.
I do not hate that strategy. I really don't. We're all going to end up with one that we played optimally and,
Right.
Yeah. Before we get to Mark Borchardt on baseball, one question about the game last night that just has nothing to do with betting. Were you surprised at how lustily Russell Wilson was booed last night?
I'm never surprised by any booing anymore because that's just, I don't know. That's fans at games, I feel like.
He's the greatest quarterback in your franchise's history. He won a Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl.
Okay. He didn't, the franchise you're rooting for traded him to the Broncos willingly. Great package, right? But they're the ones who traded him ultimately. Sure, he publicly criticized the franchise, pushed the trade.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like he ended up with the Broncos by himself, right? They made that move. So I was a little surprised by that. I get it. I'm just thinking if the Washington football team's greatest quarterback and if slinging Sammy Ball was traded from Washington, Kelly, let's go back.
Sure, yeah.
If he was traded to Dallas, just sort of making this up in my head, would I be like that? I don't think I would be that. I'd be like, oh, I hate your guts. No, I don't think I'd be like
it
that.
I found it, I don't know. I don't want to say I was shocked because I wasn't shocked. I'm not going to be surprised at all by fans booing anybody anything, right?
Yeah.
But it was a little disheartening for sure. I'm like, I'm not even from Seattle.
It was a little weird.
And I feel like this guy should be being worshipped walking in.
The fact that I'm bringing it up, it means it didn't sit well. I'm like, really? Anyway, whatever. Just is what it is, I suppose. And everyone's moved on, and Seattle gets the win, and Russell Wilson does not get the better of his former team. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt joins us from BaseWinner, at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com, from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good, Gil. Yeah, it's interesting how the fan base turns that quickly,
I mean, I guess it's to be expected. I was just like, wow, you really dislike this guy. That seems odd. Of course, he'll go into the Hall of Fame as a Seahawk. So what are we really talking about?
Yeah, hell hath no fury, a fan base scorned, I guess.
Interesting. I thought that was something else, but maybe you're right. Maybe those are the original.
The other thing you got to take into account with it, too, is you're booing Russell Wilson. And, okay, yes, he had a good first half. But you're, looking at your own sideline, and it's like, boo Russell Wilson, go Geno Smith. What?
Well.
That might be the best thing ever said on this network today.
Yeah, well, maybe.
And Kelly, that's a good point. Going for Geno Smith, I don't know.
Let me ask you this, Mark. We're down there with the home stretch of the baseball season. We were just talking to Paul Spohr about how we're probably robbed of any real pennant race except for the NL East. And the race for the third wild card in the NL doesn't look like anything's going to happen. Although apologies to the White Sox, maybe they have a run in them in the NL Central, I guess. Certainly the Twins don't look like they have one. I'll ask of you the same question I asked of him. Braves down 1.5 at +200. You might even be able to find a skosh better than that. Isn't that a good bet?
I thought that it was priced right. I looked at it today, and I think I have the Braves. Let me just look, take a look at it real fast.
Please. Gil.
I've got the Braves at 24.8% chance to win that division. So priced at like +300 should be, I think, the correct price
per the base winner numbers. Not a good bet.
Yeah. And okay. I don't think there was any value on the Mets either, because they should be at -300 if they're 75%. So I didn't think there was any value there either, Gil.
All right,
you know what? I would disagree with you though, as far as like the pennant races go, because I think that what's exciting is who's going to get this wild card home field, because I think that makes a huge difference.
Oh, now that's different. You're right. That's true. Something we can't really bet on, because that's a jockeying for seeding. But you're right. That is interesting because, again, to sort of update people who don't know the new format of this year, the number three division winner will take on the number three wild card team. The number one wild card team will take on the number two wild card team. And it's a best of three, but all at the stadium of the better team, right? So the third division winner and the number one wild card have all three games at their home park. So that is interesting. I mean, what in your numbers, though, home road matters to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to make a 10% difference on the probability one way or the other. So if you're looking at like a Seattle-Toronto 4-5, which is looking like that could happen, you know, the home team makes a huge difference in the probability calculation. You know, it's like I said, it's about a 10% swing either way. So I think that's a huge deal, actually.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts about that? Like, I mean, let's go back to what I asked you last week. You still think the Mariners are sort of the sneaky futures play, the way that their pitching sets up? Like, that's still the best value?
I like Seattle. They're three deep is pretty impressive. And then their bullpen. So it's a combination of, you know, and that's what I think what's really important in the postseason is, you know, mixing the starters in with your relievers. I wouldn't even look if I was starting to handicap the postseason. I wouldn't even look at those 4 and 5 guys. There's probably very few innings that those guys are going to pitch in the playoffs. But that means that, you know, the teams, it goes starter one, starter two, starter three, starter four, starter five. You know, you take out starter 4 and 5 for those games. So you take out a guy like Gonzalez, or you really minimize Marco Gonzalez for the Mariners, and you really minimize like a guy like Chris Flexen. And so when you look at the aggregate stats of the starting rotations, a lot of those numbers have been accrued by the 4 and 5 starters. So you got to throw those out, Gil. You have to take a look, I think, in my opinion, when you're handicapping postseason baseball, at the team's top three pitchers. And then their bullpen, specifically their better bullpen guys, because they're going to mix and match those guys. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle, assuming they get through the wild card round, and they in the next game they can't go back to their first guy, because they'll play they would be the fourth seed, depending on it. They're going to reseed it after the wild card round too. But whoever they play, then either the Yankees or the Astros, they might go bullpen day that first game. In fact, I would suggest that they do, in my opinion. So I think that's really the key to handicapping postseason. We saw that Braves bullpen last year, and they just got really hot at the right time, and they carried them through the season against a really good hitting Dodger team, Gil.
You also get to remove what you refer to as the underbelly of bullpens, right? Like, that's the other part of that.
Yeah, you can really minimize that. I mean, there's the only time that those guys will probably see action is if the starter gets blown out, and then your bet's blown out anyway.
Yeah.
So you may as well not use them to handicap you.
Yep, that's the difference between postseason and regular season baseball for sure. All right, I want to ask you so many things. I got awards to get to, your picks of the day. Let me just ask you about things right in the moment right now. Mike Trout today, he's going for 8 consecutive games with 8 home runs to tie the record. Don Mattingly and Ken Griffey, two of the three that have gotten there. Dale Long, I believe, was the first one to do this. You can bet on this at Bet Rivers. You can bet it everywhere now. Odds for Mike Trout to hit a home run tonight to have 8 consecutive games and tie the record for most consecutive games with a homer. Plus 165 is the low market at BetMGM, but plus 195 at DraftKings. I'm putting you on the spot here. Is your instinct that that's a good bet or a bad bet?
I think the price is really thin. To hit a home run, I mean, you know, I don't know how he's done it. What an accomplishment. But the odds are definitely against him. To be frank, it's a horrible price.
Okay, that's why we ask. That's all we need to hear. All right, let's do the next one, guys, because these are all sort of like things happening individual-wise that you can bet on in baseball. This is Aaron Judge, his pursuit of 62 home runs. Of course, you can bet on this over at William Hill. The yes is minus 120. The no is even. I mean, this is a virtual coin flip on Aaron Judge, who right now, of course, has, 57 home runs? Is that what he's stuck on right now? 55 home runs for Aaron Judge right now. So he's still got 7 to go here.
Yeah, I think he can get there. I mean, if you just do the math and divide by how many home runs he has, you know, what his pace is, and I think he can get there, Gil. I think I'd bet that, yeah.
You would bet that?
I would bet it, yeah, sure.
Okay.
I mean, if you think about it, like, so we've got like a month left, right?
Yeah, 21 games left. 21 games for the Yankees. He's got to hit 7. So one every 3 games to get the yes.
I'd bet yes. I think he's going to get there, Gil.
Okay. All right. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about a couple other things here, individual stuff, like will Paul Goldschmidt win the Triple Crown? Well, that's an interesting one. Albert Pujols, what will he end up with home runs? We'll take one more look at that third wild card in the NL, but I want to ask you about awards. Which awards are still in the balance? Because we do have one, certainly NL Rookie of the Year being the tightest of all of them. And, of course, your picks of the day. More baseball with Mark Borchardt, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily picks at a glance, recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, 24/7 video, plus season prep. That includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long, pro tools like our exclusive betting splits, and pro tips updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175. That's American, by the way. Or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Mark Borchardt joins us, kind enough to join us for one more segment here, talk some baseball. Aaron Judge, we talked about. We also got into Mike Trout's pursuit of an 8th straight game with a home run. Obviously, Albert Pujols, a home run spike, a home run surge. Huh, wonder how this is happening. 697 is where he is right now. He passed A-Rod on the all-time list, trying to become the 4th player ever to get to 700. That would be, of course, Barry Lamar Bonds, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, Pujols trying to add his name to that hallowed list. And you can bet on this at William Hill. If he ends up with 697, 698, or 699, it's 3-1. If he ends up exactly on 700, it's 4-1. 701 plus is the favorite now, minus 175. What were your instincts telling you to bet here? By the way, it should be mentioned, should be noted that the Cardinals have a grand total of they have 21 games left in their season. What do you think?
Oh, I would bet this 700 on the nose. And can you bet it on the last day of the season? I want to do that. Yeah.
No, you can't, because that would be ridiculous.
Who is the guy? What was it? Chan Ho Park giving up the home run to Cal Ripken in the All-Star game, and he just served
just
up a lot.
Just grooving him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think he'll get there, Gil. I really do. I feel it in the karma.
Boy, this resurgence this late in his career when he says he's going to retire. I wonder how all this is happening. Oh, this is fascinating. But boy, let's just be mad at Barry Lamar Bonds. The hypocrisy is unbelievable. I'm sorry. I meant to say all that in my head. Okay. Now, let's go to the next one. This has to do with, this is what I asked of, what do you think about this? Paul Goldschmidt to win the Triple Crown. He's a huge dog at this point to win the Triple Crown. Yes is 7-1. No is, minus 1100. Goldschmidt right now, the real issue, well, he's two home runs behind Schwarber, and he's one behind Austin Riley in home runs. So he's behind two guys in the home run category. That might be the biggest issue of them all. RBI, he's in the lead, and he has he's tied for the lead with Pete Alonso, so that's a problem too. And then in terms of average, well, there's Freddie Freeman. He's got to chase. He's 5 points behind Freddie Freeman. So his work is cut out for him in all three categories. Would you even entertain the yes at 7-1?
I wouldn't, Gil. Those are good. Those are good hitters that he's competing against as well. Yeah. So
Triple Crown happened in 1967 with Carl Yastrzemski. That was what most of our lifetime we sort of considered. Hey, hasn't happened since 1967. Then Miguel Cabrera did it in 2012. Hasn't happened since. And then I asked this of Spore earlier. I'll ask of you. Odds to clinch the NL final wild card spot. 62 losses right now in the loss column for the Phillies. 64 for the Padres. 66 for the Brewers. Padres to finish exactly third, which is what they inhabit right now. Even money. Their schedule is a little more difficult than the Phillies and the Brewers, who are at +180 and +250. What do you think?
Well, I think that the one that I saw for the National League was Philly not to make the playoffs. And it's interesting because you think that Milwaukee getting in would have, you know, like reciprocal value, but it doesn't. But Philly to not get in, it should be +400, and you can get it at +600. So I thought that of all those bets within that particular genre, if you will, I thought that was probably the best one. Okay. Philly to not get in.
I like it. By the way, I erred. I meant Philly 62 losses, Padres 64 losses, and the Brewers 66. All right, and then we have the awards. A lot of these awards are pretty much fait accompli. They're donezo. But there are some that are absolutely in the balance, and particularly NL Rookie of the Year. NL Rookie of the Year is super tight between Braves teammates, Spencer Strider, and, of course, Michael Harris. Where Harris is now, let me give you the exact odds. I'll go to BetMGM specifically, our proud sponsor here. NL Rookie of the Year right now, Spencer Strider is -145, Michael Harris even. What do you think?
Well, I think you give it to the person who has the highest WAR at the end of the year. So I think it's priced right. You look at Strider's WAR, it's at 4.8. And then if you look at Harris's WAR, it's at 4.4. So I think that's priced right. But I wanted to make a comment about Strider, because if you look at the base winner ERA at basewinner.com, it's DeGrom in the National League. It's DeGrom at 1.37. Then number two is your Spencer Strider. So the question would be, does he have enough innings to get that Cy Young Award? I think 101.1. I think he's got to be a strong consideration for that. The Cy Young Award market is just perplexing to me, what the pricing is, you know, personally, Gil.
Well, let's look at those real quick. We'll start with NL, since you brought up NL. Sandy Alcantara, -180. Is the favorite. Max Fried and Julio Urias, the next short shots, but they're distant, +650. Strider 66-1. I mean,
take it. His expected ERA 2.21. You look at Alcantara 3.42. What are these guys going to be looking at? I mean, I would hope that the voters would be looking at strikeout percentage and walk percentage, because I think that that's what. I think that's what the pitcher can control. Plus, I think you look at just from – if you watch Spencer Strider pitch, he does it with such ease. It's so fun to watch him. I think 66-1 is super intriguing, Gil.
As always with these awards, though, we don't know. Are we too close to the sun? Like, are betting markets really even an accurate reflection of anything? Let's look at the AL Cy Young Award. This is also courtesy of BetMGM. AL Cy Young has Dylan Cease now at -150. Verlander – who, you know, not on the field, +110. And then everybody else now, McClanahan, Otani, and beyond, they're all 30-1 or longer at BetMGM. By the way, Framber Valdez has thrown 24 consecutive quality starts. Like, it's ridiculous that he's 80-1. You agree with this market?
Gil, am I looking at the wrong numbers? Should I not be looking at strikeouts? Should I not be looking at walks allowed? Should I not be looking at ground ball? I mean, look at
it's amazing.
Top three guys in base winner ERA, which is all that stuff. McClanahan, 2.28. Cole, 2.60, and I think he was 100-1. And then Ohtani, 2.61. So I think it's pretty amazing to me. I don't know what these
numbers
people are looking at.
Yeah, I really think one of these categories is going to end up being a shocker based on the betting markets. I don't know which it is, but one of them is going to be. By the way, AL MVP, just to close this out, AL MVP, obviously, Aaron Judge now a prohibitive favorite, -1250, Shohei's +550. Let me just ask you a question, because I've been going around saying, hey, if Shohei hits 35 homers and he has 200 strikeouts, he's one away from 35 homers, he's on the cusp, he's like 12 shy of 200 strikeouts. Like, really, he's not the MVP? Let me just ask it of you a different way. Let's just say Shohei hits 6 more homers. Let's say he's got 40 and 200, and Aaron Judge ends up with 59. Really? They're still not going to give the MVP to Shohei at that point? Like, just the number changing that much incrementally, voters aren't going to be like, oh yeah, we're Meshuggah not betting on, not picking Ohtani for this. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think that you can make a case for each guy.
I do. I think you, listen, I'm not taking anything away from Aaron Judge. I'm just saying.
So here's kind of my quick take on it. I think that if right now Judge is at 9.3 WAR, Ohtani's at 8.2. So, oh, that's really close. I would give it to Ohtani at this point because he does both things. But if Judge eclipses the hallowed 61 home run record, and it's a hallowed record, Gil, and Ohtani,
it's not
maybe,
a record, except for that fact that it's not a record.
It is a record.
No,
because everybody else that went over that was on steroids.
So, it's not a record. Sorry.
I know, but we disagree with it. Yeah. But I think that I'm in the majority to say that, hey, that's a steroid record. You know, that's not a legit record. At least that's kind of my opinion on it.
Did the ball go off his bat over the fence? I'm just curious. Did it do that 73 times in a season?
Yeah, but I know that you have an affection for Bonds.
Well, no, it's not an affection for Bonds. It's the fact that we're hypocritical about everything. Everybody's like, Albert Pujols, he's amazing. Really? Like, I mean, oh, Jeff Bagwell, that was amazing. Ivan Rodriguez, that was amazing. Really?
I don't think Aaron Judge is on steroids.
No,
I think
he's not. But I'm just saying we're so hypocritical about everything. Why? Anyway, that's a whole other, you know. Yeah.
Well, we can talk about it next time because it's an interesting discussion, actually. But it's close, and I think you can make a case for either guy. Right now, in my opinion, it would be Ohtani, Gil.
Your pick of the day, sir, is?
I'm going to go with a parlay, the Big Apple parlay. Going to go with the Mets. I'm not going to overthink this Mets one. It's almost an automatic win with DeGrom. In my opinion, I've got a price. I mean, it's a ridiculous price. My model has -675. I'm going to parlay it with the Yankees. My model has a -172. You get even money on the parlay. I think that's the best play of the day, Gil.
All right, Yankees, Mets, Subway parlay, even money. All right, Mark Borchardt, everybody, at Base Winner. Always a pleasure, always spirited. I like it very much.
I think it's a great discussion, Gil.
It is.
Awesome.
By the way, Aaron Judge, taking nothing away from me, single-handedly dragging them to the division win. So shout out to him on that. Coming back, football, Survivor Talk next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game right here at the Southpaw. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9 in the house. So much more than producer. Kelly, we get tweets. I don't know if you're aware of this, at Beating the Book. We always appreciate the feedback. By the way, my Twitter feed is overrun by people who were talking about the college football segment and the behavior of the books during that segment.
It is. I mean, look, I was listening to some of the guys downstairs who were betting it, too. It is. I don't know the first time I ever saw a Raz release, but it was, 8, 10 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. The first time you look at the board and see it light up, it is something to see.
It's a beautiful thing. Like Bob will also tell you, like, when he does a college football, it'll move, but sometimes it'll move back with his these days, right?
Yeah, there is always a point of pushback, right, from bettors. And we even saw that today with that pick. It hit
14 and a half and 14 in some spots will get reported sub 14s, and that is the point of resistance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, right? 14, kind of a key number at least.
But again, this is I want to emphasize this again. It's, you know, some books will take it off entirely, right? And that's kind of the way they behave. That's just what they do. And then some books are slow to move. And it is good as bettors to know that information as well. To have that out in such instances is an awesome advantage. Because you see, oh, books A through, J, I don't know why I'm using letters, but those books, they're moving it quickly, but there's these two little stray books out here that are like sleep at the wheel. They're still chilling at 17. You know, so you need to know all that information. That's why you should always have some sort of screen in front of you with multiple outs, multiple books to look at.
I mean, in most of the books I was watching, you know, I'll give credit to most of them leaving the game up, just moving the number.
Yep.
You know what I mean? At least they're not like pulling it down for an hour, 45 minutes.
Some pulled it down a couple times. They pulled it down once,
but they got it back up pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. We do have tweets about some other things, though. This is from Scott H. He goes, talking about Russell Wilson being booed. He goes, maybe they were booing because we still have Carroll and not Russell.
There you go. That would make sense.
Duke's in the PNW. Oh, is this my guy Patty Dukes right here? Hey, Gil, regarding Wilson booing. Oh, it's not. It's a different Dukes. He goes, there's a lot of things behind the scenes which caused him never to be 100% love from the Golden Tate drama. But wasn't that like not his? I mean, that was Golden Tate-induced drama, wasn't it? To the 2015 Super Bowl pick, well, it wasn't his play call.
Yeah.
To the day after he was traded when his personal brand scraped all things Seattle like he was never here. Well, that one will rub you wrong for sure. Evan Klein, he goes, I hate the Giants. I hate Barry Bonds. Still a record. Thank you, Evan Klein. 3JackH3131. Found Strider at 75-1 with a 25% profit boost. Threw a little pocket change on it because why not?
Yeah, I think your point's fair on that, though, right? It's the, I mean, we almost preface this every time we talk about awards, but it is, are we too close to the sun?
Is the market even a reflection of reality with voters? We don't know.
We have
no idea. These are human beings. They're going to do what they're going to do.
It is just such, we can't emphasize it enough. It is just such a difference of betting on something that is settled on the field.
Right. Box score related.
With the score.
That's right.
Versus human beings voting on it. Because just like when we go back and forth arguing on this stuff, right? It doesn't mean anybody's right or anybody's wrong, right? But you each get your vote and your votes count up.
That's right.
Tally up.
That's right. And those of us who, by the way, the AL MVP, those of us who believe Ohtani should be the MVP, it doesn't mean that we don't think Judge is awesome. And it doesn't mean we also aren't braced for every time Ohtani hits a home run and gets a strikeout, it's just going to hurt that much more.
And again, doesn't mean you're right or wrong. It doesn't mean people backing Judge completely are right or wrong. All these guys get votes, though, and that's how it's going to be decided.
You know how it is these days, Kelly, where it's like, I'm right and you're the dumbest person in the world.
Me and you
right?
talk about that all the time. Yeah. Like, people cannot hold two different thoughts in their head amazing. At the same time.
This is from Hillbilly, IM88 Resist. He goes, 700? How would that ever happen? Hashtag hypocrisy. Best show anywhere, Gil. Thank you, buddy. Trevor Warwick. Tell Mark Borchardt it's called the Frank Sinatra Parlay, New York, New York. He has the New York, New York Beltway Parlay.
Oh, well, I like that.
We'll go with the Frank Sinatra Parlay.
I like that.
I guess it's not the Alicia Keys or Jay-Z Parlay, because they never say New York, New York, right? They just go New York once.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just making sure. All right, Aaron Schatz tweeted this out from Football Outsiders, terms of playoff probability changes after 1 week.
1 week?
Of the National Football League. Excellent Football Outsiders use of Twitter hashtags. Can we give them credit for that at least, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, they're tagging all the teams.
Their hashtag game is on fleek. I can't believe that came out of my mouth. I was like, on point, should I say it? Okay. I'm like,
Sean, we might have to pull that for a drop.
Can we, that's the worst thing that's ever come out of my mouth. All right, Buccaneers up 14% in terms of playoff odds. Hashtag skull, that's the Vikings, by the way, Kelly.
It is.
Plus 13.5% up on their playoff odds. Bills, plus 11.5%. HTTC, oh, I hate that so much. That's Washington. Have you heard the new hail to the Commanders, by the way? It's like
I haven't heard it. Two, like, people are supposed to know what that hashtag is.
Well, it was HTTR, and then, you know.
Okay.
And then it's like a barbershop quartet version of hail to the other name. It's horrible. But anyway, they're up 10.5% to make the playoffs, according to Football Outsiders. Eagles are up 10.4%. How about the biggest droppers? The Dallas Cowboys. Who Jerry Jones, again, if you missed it this morning, says, I don't know, Dak could be back in 4 weeks. We're not putting him on the IR.
Look, I always enjoy hearing the debate of the America's team and who is it, whatever.
Yeah.
But Hashtag say something. I don't got to figure out what that hashtag means, Dallas yeah. Cowboys.
Down 34.9% per Aaron Schatz at Football Outsiders in terms of their playoff odds. 34.9% in 1 week of football. Obviously, the Dak injury factoring in. Hashtag rule the jungle. That's the Bengals, I'm told by a smart person off air.
Mm-hmm.
That's down 13.8%, as are the Raiders. Down 13.8%. Take that for what you will. All right, now, Kelly, because everybody else is doing their power rankings, you texted me last night. You're like, hey, Gil, when do you get a chance?
Let's fire them up, baby.
Let's do some power rankings. You want to go first or should I go
first?
Power
rankings. We're going to start with the AFC, and you'll go first.
AFC. Okay. The AFC is a much different animal than the NFC because NFC drops off a cliff.
It did quickly, yes.
AFC, at number five, I have the Bengals, even though they lost to the Steelers. Yes, they are the defending AFC champions. Even though they lost to the Steelers, let's keep in mind, they were -5 in turnovers and still should have won.
Yep.
So I still got to have them in there. Lamar Jackson single-handedly puts the Ravens at number four for me. The Chiefs, reports of their demise have been greatly exaggerated. Perhaps I am part of that. Chiefs are at number three. I am all over the Chargers preseason. I've bet them every which way. So for me, the Chargers are going to be way up there. They're number two for me after their opening day win. And how can you not have the Bills number one after what they did to the Rams? So that's my number one in the AFC. I might even argue my one and two there are one and two overall.
Oh,
maybe even my 1, 2, and 3.
I'm completely with you.
Yeah.
At least 1 and 2. So yeah. If we go to mine, I mean, I've got Bills and Chargers right off the top. We have the same top three.
Oh wow.
In order.
Oh
right?
Wow, we're close. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd. Yeah, I don't know where I'd slot the Chiefs overall. Usually we'll do this once a week and go overall top 10.
Yeah.
We'll fire that up next week. I thought it was, because of the NFC, I thought it was interesting to split this up for now. But I'm with you. Bills and Chargers would definitely be top two for me in the whole NFL. But I got them top two in the AFC. Put the Chiefs there. And look, if we did this preseason, I'm not sure the Chiefs would be number three in my AFC power rankings. But after week one, I think you have to make some adjustments a little bit. They go up to three. Bengals, because of everything that you said, are still four to me. I could even make an argument they would be three, and I think that's where Chiefs-Bengals kind of flip-flopped after week one for me. And number five, Ravens. Look, I like the Ravens. You're right. Lamar Jackson's amazing. I love the Ravens against bad football teams. I think when the Ravens go up against good football teams, it becomes a whole different story with how that offense operates, usually against good defenses. Yeah. I think that you could, look, it's after 1 week of football, right? I think you could make a case for Ravens there, even the Colts tying on the Texans. I still think they have the talent to put them in this range in the AFC. I think you could go Ravens, Colts. There's a couple teams you could probably, I think you could even make a case for the Broncos being in there after what we saw in the second half.
It was funny because you sent me that text before the Monday night game and then we both kind of to ourselves then to each other were like, what does this say about our opinion of the Broncos if we're willing to do this exercise before they even play?
Yeah, I realized that as I was filling mine out. I'm like, oh, the Broncos are in the AFC and they play tonight.
Yeah. Well, they did nothing to crack the top five last night. Let's put it that way.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Mine could easily, number five for me, though, could easily be Ravens / Broncos / Colts.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts are going to have to do something a little better than they did this past week. But yes, the Colts are certainly on the cusp, for sure. We'll wait till after the break to do the NFC, because while we had virtually no disagreement in the AFC, except for the order of 4 and 5, I wonder what happens in the NFC, because this, like I said, this certainly after 4, it kind of gets quirky. And you could have your own sort of preseason biases involved. We'll do the NFC Power Rankings and Survivor Talk. We have not forgotten. For those who have survived for the, 43.75% of entries that have survived in Circa, we'll do that next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. planning a trip to Vegas, you could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you could use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here. We got two audio guys in the corner. What is it? Like Jeff and Sean equals one Kev? What's happening?
One of them handles the left speakers. One of them handles the right speakers.
Okay, just curious.
That's how it works.
As long as Isaiah and Wyatt and Roberto Moreno are still doing their thing. Cool.
Yeah. Roberto over at Circa, but yeah.
Oh, we have to do our NFC power rankings, Kelly. All right, so this is, I wonder if this will have the same agreement. So the NFC, a totally different animal. Let me do it from one down. So the Rams, despite getting housed by the Bills, still my number one NFC team. I don't know if you know this. They did win the Super Bowl. I'm not willing to just knock them off the top that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have the Vikings at number two, as you and I talked about all offseason. This is the year of the Vikings. And they look great against the Packers. And Justin Jefferson was everything he said he'd be. The Vikings are number two. I have the Buccaneers at three, not because I thought they were impressive at all Sunday night. I just think Dallas was horrible. Maybe the Bucs had, you know, their part in that. But I just sort of like put them at three because I kind of felt like I was obligated to with Tom Brady. And then the Eagles, everybody's favorite off-season choice. I kind of felt like I'll put them at four just because, like, here, I mean, the NFC is so bad by comparison.
It really is.
And then at number five, people are going to laugh at me, but, like, I think the Niners, like, my preseason conviction on the Niners was such that even though they lose to the Bears, I didn't know who else to put at number five. So I have the Niners at five because around Trey Lance, at least I know they're good. They didn't have George Kittle either, and they were playing in a monsoon. So I give them a couple sort of excuses.
It's 1 week.
Yes.
It's 1 week. We can't get off our priors too much.
Too much.
What
are yours? I'm curious what yours are.
We'll go through mine. Let's first mention the one team neither one of us included that is second in the betting market to win the NFC.
And that would be the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. But we said that all offseason. I don't think they're going to be good.
Yeah, me either.
If you take Devontae Adams, I get it. Aaron Rodgers is great, but like to think that that's not going to hurt them.
By the way, linking that back into the game last night, was there not a part of you watching DK Metcalf last night and even Tyler Lockett, I guess, to a degree, but a much smaller degree at this point, where I'm like, why am I watching this? Like, why am I watching Geno Smith to DK Metcalf right now? And then there's teams out there like the Green Bay Packers that just desperately need a wide receiver. And it's, I mean, that's how much Devontae Adams means to that team. And I think people were blowing that off for much of the offseason. Like, it's not going to be that big of a deal, and it clearly is. It's tough to watch those good wide receivers on a team that you know is not going anywhere, and then you see a team like that just needs a wide receiver so badly. And look, I know there's contracts coming to play and all that stuff, but that was tough to watch. My NFC power rankings, I'm with you on the Rams. Look, the Rams-Bucks, I've got a lot of question marks about, and probably even more so. After week one, I think that Bucks-Cowboys game from a Bucks standpoint, you're right, Gil. Like, I think it's, yes, the Bucks were pretty good. It's not like they were great, but that was much more the Cowboys being terrible than them being great.
Hard to know where one began and one ended.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, personally to me, I have the top five NFC teams here. I have no idea what the order of these teams
So you just replaced the Saints with my Niners.
Yeah, with your Niners.
Yeah.
So I did Rams-Bucks. I put Vikings three. So you know what? I could have gone full Kelly heel on this and gone Vikings 1, Eagles 2.
You're right.
But, I don't want to be fair. I want to be fair to the viewers and the listeners out there. Yes, I think the Rams and Bucks are still better teams, at least right now. But I think the Vikings and Eagles are darn close.
Yeah.
Little concerned about that Eagles defense.
The point of this exercise, though, came through, which is, good God, even though we kind of knew intuitively how much better the AFC was, wow, is it better.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Saints, I've got five, but look, I'm not looking forward more to any game this weekend than Saints-Bucks because I have no idea how that NFC South's going to turn out right now.
Hope everybody heard guessing lines yesterday. By the way, the response on the Megapod on Thursday on the Beating the Book podcast feed was just tremendous, the numbers. better than they've ever been. So it just continues to grow. And then guessing lines, which we actually do on air, and then people get it in podcast form. So it's actually, it's already aired in one spot. It's not an original thing. Those numbers are spectacular. And Chrissy Andrews every Monday with us here on A Numbers Game, and then we just put it into podcast form on the Beating the Book feed. It's tremendous response on that as well. So thanks to everybody. And that's where we take our first stab at spreads for the upcoming week. And so check that out again. And then Tuesday through Friday, these shows on A Numbers Game are on A Numbers Game feed, podcast feed.
In case you missed anything. Pretty darn good guessing lines yesterday. You were pretty darn close.
I botched one horribly, though. The Bengals one with the Cowboys?
But I don't know. There's games like, I don't know, Tennessee-Buffalo. I was shocked you were as close as you were on.
Tennessee-Buffalo?
Yeah.
Buffalo is extra rest, and they crushed the Rams. That, to me, was an easy double digit.
I feel that way, too, but I feel like there's a lot of people out there that probably still think this Tennessee team's supposed to be pretty good or pretty close to what they were last year, and they're not going to be. They are not. Nope. They're not going to.
Nope. And
I'm going to make an on-the-fly change to my NFC power rankings.
Oh.
Based off last night. Bucks number one, because why is Tom Brady still okay sneaking the ball, but nobody else can in the NFL? It's the greatest achievement of Tom Brady's career, Gil, is that he's still okay sneaking the ball in his mid-40s, but nobody else in the NFL can do it anymore because, God forbid, we ever get hurt playing a contact sport.
Kelly's getting very angry.
It blows my mind.
We said on this show, from the inception of this show for 5.5 years, we've talked about how, like, Philip Rivers wouldn't sneak.
Never.
Right, and then Warren Sharp picked it up. Like, Philip Rivers, it's like Zapruder film footage of him sneaking. Like, there's one grainy footage of him sneaking in some game years ago. But, like, it had to be in his contract. Or they had to have some agreement. Like, I do not... He was at Philip Rivers while he's screaming at his wide receivers and reproducing. He refuses to sneak.
It's like the whole, like, drive for show, putt for dough thing, right? It's, okay, these quarterbacks don't want to get hurt, and the coaches in front office are okay with that because they have so much invested in it. But then you have a guy like Tom Brady who's like, no, I'm going to go out and win this game. I'm going to go out and win the game. Yes. I don't care what happens. I've never been a Tom Brady defender, Gil. I feel like this is the first time I've ever done this on air.
Sounds like you love the man.
But that man is still willing to do that.
I love Tommy. So anyway, guessing lines, I'm just trying to think what was like, Detroit seemed way low to me, right? My line on Detroit was way lower than the actual line. My line was higher. Mine was -3, and it was like -1 during the show, but it was moving towards me.
It's moved your way. It's 2.5, I think, everywhere right now.
As long as that's under 3, I think that's a play on Detroit. And there was others. Like, I know Arizona sucked, but like, they're getting a lot of points this week, man. Arizona's getting a bunch of points.
I laid that on the – I laid 3 with the Raiders on the opener of that on Sunday, Gil. That is up to 6.
Yeah, that is – to me, that's the overreaction of week one. That's the biggest overreaction.
I'm shocked that's moved that much.
Yeah, come on. Give me the Cardinals. All right, Survivor. This will be our first sort of Survivor talk. For those lucky enough, again, Circa Survivor, 3,450 entries out after week one out of 6,133. That's 56.25%. Man, oh, man. So that leaves, less than half the field, obviously. 43.75% remain. For those who are still in it, I mean, you have a lot of choices this week. The Browns are 6-point favorites at home against the Jets. I mean, the Browns are an interesting choice if you think they can get by the Jets.
I have that one written down as well.
Yeah. How about this one? How about I don't know about that one right there. The Rams are huge favorites at home against the Falcons, but you kind of want to save the Rams.
Yeah, I want to use the Rams there.
Yeah. There's Thanksgiving and Christmas implications with many of these. How about the Niners being huge favorites over the Seahawks?
It's not that I don't want to use them there. I still need time to figure out what both of these teams are. I was going to say just what the 49ers are, but I guess after last night what the Seahawks are too.
How about the Bengals being huge road favorites over the Cooper Rush-led Cowboys?
I have that one written down. I would normally say in this situation save the Bengals, but it's one of those, I don't know, I kind of like them there.
How about the Broncos, double-digit favorites, hosting the Texans? Broncos on a short week coming off that brutal loss last night.
I did not write that one down. I don't have interest.
Really? Didn't even write it down. How about the Packers, Sunday night, oldest rivalry in the NFL, double-digit favorites against the Bears?
I did write that one down.
Yeah,
I don't think the Packers are gonna have a great season. I think this is one of the spots that would be a good spot to use them in.
A lot of big favorites, and then the Bills are huge favorites against the Titans on Monday night. But I don't want to touch the Bills.
The other one I wrote down, the Giants over the Panthers.
Are you really gonna really? Well, I don't know about that. Keep in mind, the Major League Baseball playoff format has changed this year, and make sure to know the exact details when making postseason bets. It's key. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 a day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Enjoy from VSiN, the sports betting network.